What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Hey, it's Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson with me. Hey, Brian.
Good to see you again, Charch.
Free agency just days away. Can't wait to see all the machinations, yes. The moves, the big names, all the changes.
Oh. I don't recall being this excited for free agency in quite some time. There are a lot of big names.
There are a lot of big names, and I can't wait to go through that. That'll be next week's show. This week, we will be continuing to drill down on the key things to know and remember from last year, division by division. Last week, we did NFC East. We've already done the AFC East. We're switching our attention this week to the AFC South,
where my new favorite team resides.
Your new favorite team is
the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, are you abandoning the Bengals?
I won't say I'm abandoning them, but I brought them to a near championship caliber level, and they're good. They're going to be just fine. I got to take my talents elsewhere, so I'm going to Jacksonville. They're my new Bengals.
They need your help.
They do.
They did. And for anybody who doesn't know, you gave up on your Giants before Burrow was drafted, yes, when the Bengals were a very, very bad team. So you get plenty. You are not a front runner on this Bengals bid at all.
No, not at all.
Congratulations.
So, and now remember this, when Jacksonville is in the Super Bowl 2023, calling it.
You're calling it. 2 years.
I think they could make the playoffs this year. Let's talk about it.
All right, let's start with Jacksonville.
Start with Trevor Lawrence.
What a way, way underreported story how bad he looked last year.
Yeah, disaster rookie season, just 12 passing touchdowns, 15 games with zero or one passing touchdown.
Brutal.
Was basically unusable in fantasy, but not giving up on Lawrence just yet. I was pretty rough on him. I mean, there was things certainly not working in his favor, starting with Urban Meyer, his head coach, mm-hmm, probably one of the worst head coaches in NFL history, albeit it was only like a half a season. Doug Peterson, massive upgrade at head coach, I think, especially from an offensive perspective. Travis Etienne missed all of his rookie season. That didn't help Trevor Lawrence at all.
And DJ Chark, by the way, we should mention Etienne is ahead of schedule, according to recent media reports.
Yeah, we'll certainly talk about him a little more in a minute or two here. DJ Chark was hurt, so it was just a disaster all around the offensive line.
Okay, that's all true, and there's a lot of excuse making. But if you watched Trevor Lawrence, he looked bad in situations in which he had no reason to look bad. When he would have a clean pocket, misfiring all of the accuracy, really, really bad. Misfiring or not hitting guys in stride, not catchable passes or difficult catches that shouldn't be difficult. It just, I'm telling you, even if I factor out all these other things and I just look at, try to isolate Trevor Lawrence, Brian, It was a bad, he did not perform well.
No, and I was worried, you know, he put up these massive numbers in college, but he was basically playing for a pro team.
Yeah, right.
Like, he had amazing talent all around him, but yeah. I don't know. I people are way down on Lawrence. He's kind of a guy I'm targeting as like a top backup, and I still think he could, with the right pieces around him, they're going to address the offensive line for sure. Yep. They're going to take Evan Neal first overall. Everyone's saying mountain of an offensive lineman from Alabama. So
I hope they do.
I'm buying into Lawrence in redraft this year, and certainly dynasty if the price is low enough. So I'm glass half full with Trevor Lawrence. Over to his wide receivers. DJ Chark, unrestricted free agent. He's basically gone, assuming he's not going to be on the team. So we'll talk about Marvin Jones. As of right now, he is their wide receiver one. Jacksonville certainly going to add a receiver or two via the draft or free agency or both. But Jones, by no means is he a sexy pick in drafts, but he's someone you can likely count on for roughly 70 catches, 900 yards, five or six touchdowns. So a guy you'll
he's
draft.
He's my fifth wide receiver on my team.
And he'll be a spot starter in some weeks, certainly in heavy bye weeks. So Jones, still a relevant fantasy player, but I think he'll thrive more if they can bring in a bigger name receiver via free agency or draft a Treylon Burks or Garrett Davis, one of these.
Could be something they do.
Yeah, most mocks I'm seeing have Jacksonville taking because they have the 32nd pick, I believe, as well.
That's Detroit's got 32 because of the. They got 33.
Yeah, 33. So they're definitely not taking a receiver first overall, but a lot of mocks I see have them taking a receiver with that 33rd pick, and there'll be some enticing options there.
Brian, why did we spend so much offseason time talking about LaVisca Chenault?
Yeah, hyped by many, many people as a sleeper.
He had the huge December last year, the year before last, and rolled into this, and we're like, man. All the physical gifts, and now he's got a first round quarterback to throw him the ball, first overall pick quarterback.
Yeah,
his lack of involvement in that offense was shocking.
Yeah, just 63 catches, 619 yards, zero touchdowns. Didn't get a ton of carries either. Thought you'd see more work on the ground. Jacksonville's GM recently said the ship has not sailed on Chenault. Which is a good thing, I guess, but on the flip side, it's not a good thing when you have to make a statement
exactly.
like that. But he's a serious buy low candidate as of right now. Everyone looking for the next Debo Samuel these days. Mm-hmm. He's you would think he's got that skill set. So a guy you can get very cheap. I'm intrigued by Chenault. I'll take a flyer on him in some leagues and just hope that he hits that ceiling. But if he doesn't show massive improvement this year, it's over.
Yeah,
Oliver. But the ship has not sailed, especially in fantasy football on LaVisca. Now, speaking of guys I really like, I love Dan Arnold, tight end Dan Arnold.
Funny how you got Jacksonville.
Yeah, I set that up for this reason.
Yes, I know.
Arnold traded from Carolina to Jacksonville midseason. Didn't have much time to acclimate to his new team. Got hurt in week 12, missed the rest of the season because of the injury. But before he got injured, there was a nice three-game stretch where he really clicked with Trevor Lawrence. And this is like right when he got traded there. Saw target totals of 10, 7, and 7. He topped 60 yards in each of those games. He ran nearly 75% of his routes from the slot or outside. So he's really a wide receiver that is tight end eligible in fantasy football. And I love the Doug Peterson hire.
Yeah, obviously,
for Arnold.
The pedigree of tight ends is significant.
Look, I'm not saying Dan Arnold is, tight end one, not even tight end, top 12 tight end, but a guy you can take in the very later rounds as your backup tight end. It's like going tight end 23, 24 right now. There is upside there. They might bring in another tight end, but I think that'd be more traditional inline blocker guy.
Probably, because Arnold's not much of a blocker.
You know I had to talk about Dan Arnold, but he's still fantasy relevant, and we'll be giving him some Cs, maybe even some Bs this regular season on all FFW. Right. Make that bold prediction. And lastly, for the Jaguars,
running back situation.
Travis Etienne, and we'll talk James Robinson. And we can't look back on Etienne's rookie season. He missed the whole thing.
Yep.
With the Lisfranc injury he suffered in training camp. He's pretty much getting drafted where he was getting drafted last year. The hype is still there for Etienne, more appealing in PPR formats, though. He seems like more of a receiver than a rusher.
Oh, for sure.
It's unlikely he gets used in a bell cow role. He'll certainly see some carries, but the question is, who will be there? Who will he be splitting those carries with?
Yeah, that is not clear.
No, James Robinson tore his Achilles late in the season. He was a viable RB2 before the injury, but man, I don't know if he's going to be ready to go.
No, Achilles injuries are, you know, we've talked about this a lot with Cam Akers. Achilles injuries on running backs are usually a career ender. You know, Akers came back in for the playoffs, totally mundane, like 3 yards a carry. It is really, really hard. The high water mark for any running back off an Achilles is Donta Foreman last year, 4 years removed from his Achilles. Mm-hmm. It is a brutal injury, and I think the expectation should be that you are not going to get help from James Robinson next year. Not meaningful help.
Yeah. So, you know, be a little wary drafting Travis Etienne. He's not, even though there's no clear competition right now, there will be, and he's just not going to be that 20 plus carry guy.
He's not built for that.
No.
Even if the draft equity they put into him would suggest as much.
That's it for Jacksonville.
When I was at the combine, a week, 10 days ago,
over a week ago,
I had a chance to sit down with Tennessee offensive coordinator Todd Downing. Had a nice chat. And Downing had some massive challenges last year with Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You had injuries to Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, a variety of linemen moving in and out every week. Not a lot of depth at receiver either, right? And they're having to make, you know, Chester Rogers needs to step up. Nick Westbrook, Ekante needs to step up. Picante sauce needs to step up. And so they made do, and they got to the playoffs, and, you know, it turned out Mike Vrabel got coach of the year, contract extension.
Well deserved. Yeah. I think that, the game they lost to the Bengals in the divisional round, that was like one of two or three games where it was, they had AJ Brown, Julio Jones and Derrick Henry. And Henry wasn't 100% for that game.
No, before, he only had 60 rushing yards in the game, and it ended up being a 16-19 game, mm-hmm. a defensive tussle. Let's talk Derrick Henry pre-injury. Dominating every rushing stat by a mile.
Record-setting pace.
It was. MVP pace. It was. He was absolutely dominating. And it was his average game pre-injury, 144 total yards and 1.5 touchdowns per game. And you can easily make the case that says, don't care about the injury. Don't care about all the workload. I'm just going to draft Derrick Henry again because I know that Todd Downing will run him into the ground as whatever it takes. And if he breaks down again, I'm going to, you know, fine. Okay. Through 8 weeks, I'm going to be damn near undefeated because I've got Derrick Henry pumping in 144 yards and 1.5 touchdowns per game. I'll deal with it if he goes down. That's a viable case to be made for taking Derrick Henry as early as the second pick of a draft.
Yeah. That's pretty much the stance I'm taking. Mm-hmm. I'm not too worried about the foot injury. I don't think he's going to, you know, is he subject to broken feet now that he's done it once?
Probably not. Let's go to the passing game, and Ryan Tannehill finished with 7 rushing touchdowns. And you might be thinking to yourself, because I kind of was, well, he got 7 rushing touchdowns because Derrick Henry got hurt. But as it turns out, half of those 7, 3, were before Derrick Henry got hurt, and he had 7 rushing touchdowns the year before that.
Yeah.
When Derrick Henry is healthy, the dude scores rushing touchdowns.
Well, he's an athlete. He's a converted wide receiver.
So, right. Yeah, exactly. He can. Tannehill's passing, it wasn't bad, but the real problem last year, and you could view it as an aberration if you want, is he just didn't throw touchdowns. He had just 21. That was his lowest touchdown output since he was a Dolphin, and he scored 0 or 1 passing touchdowns in 14 games. Trevor Lawrence was 15.
Wow.
That's the part that killed him. But the total yards wasn't half bad. It just didn't convert into the end zone. And that might, you know, that could easily end up flipping. If he has the same yards, and I think off the top of my head, it was like 3,700 yards. If he has those same 3,700 yards, he should have more than 21 touchdowns next year.
I mean, losing Derrick Henry really hurt. Not that Henry was catching a lot of touchdowns, but defenses just had to respect the run.
Yeah.
And that opened up. I mean, Donta Foreman looked good in Henry's absence, but that was huge for Tannehill and the whole offense.
AJ Brown, another frustrating season of injuries, this time chest, knee, hamstring injuries. Sometimes he dominated, like he had monster games against Buffalo, Kansas City, Indy, San Francisco, and that Bengals playoff loss. He had a monster game. And in those moments, AJ Brown looks like the best receiver in the league.
Yeah.
But the problem was his other nine games, he averaged three catches for 38 yards and scored twice in those nine games. And he torpedoed your team.
Yeah, you'd like to see those games be more like a six catches for 70-yard
Yeah, right. Floor. That's what I want his floor to be. But it wasn't that way. And the frustrating part is you can't say, well, it's because Derrick Henry was eating all the carries, because half the season he didn't. You can't say it was because Julio Jones was siphoning off so much work because he wasn't even available for most of those games. They just didn't schematically go to A.J. Brown that much. And maybe it was because he was playing with chest, knee, and hamstring injuries many times, but very frustrating for fantasy owners with A.J. Brown. Let's go to Julio Jones. I think that Julio Jones trade looks like a lose-lose.
Yeah.
You know, the Falcons kind of needed him based on what happened to their wide receiver group.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have him. And then the Titans gave up the second-round pick and more to get a guy who really didn't even help this year. He did not score a touchdown until the final week of the season. Julio Jones topped 62 yards, which is not a high threshold. Julio Jones topped 62 yards once.
When healthy, right?
Yep. Nagging injuries for Julio Jones all the time, which was an ongoing problem and has continued to be now for three straight seasons.
By the way, now 33-year-old Julio Jones.
Yeah.
That's getting kind of ancient when you're talking wide receivers.
I think Tennessee is a prime candidate to spend some draft equity at the wide receiver position.
I agree. Or there's certainly some enticing names out there in free agency, too.
There's no guarantee Julio Jones on this team next year.
No, there's not.
Yeah, that might have been his window right there. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Indy.
All right.
Plenty of controversy at the quarterback position and absolutely none at the running back position. Back in moments.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Segment number two, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson with you. Let's turn our attention to the Indianapolis Colts, Where would you like to start? Is it do we start with Jonathan Taylor? Yeah, consensus first. He will be the first player taken in almost every fantasy league next year.
Yeah, pretty much the consensus first overall pick in one quarterback leagues, of course. A ton of impressive stats I can throw at you. This one from Pro Football Focus really stood out, though. The most rushing touchdowns against 8-plus man boxes or stacked boxes over the last two seasons. Jonathan Taylor, 22. Derrick Henry, 20. Dalvin Cook, 19. So Taylor,
good company.
He's certainly... We're not sure if he's peaked. He can only get better, especially if they upgrade a quarterback, bring in another weapon at wide receiver to take some of the attention off Jonathan Taylor. So taking him first, can't argue that whatsoever. Lock it in and think about your round two pick. Taylor seems about as safe as a number one pick as there can be. I hope that doesn't jinx him too much. So yeah, nothing more to say about Jonathan Taylor. Really not a lot to say about wide receivers at the moment other than talking about Michael Pittman. Mm-hmm. Just 6 touchdowns last year, but he was top 15 in catches and yards among wide receivers. I think he has that wide receiver one potential, meaning he's a top 12 wide receiver. Getting drafted right now is wide receiver 27, 28. I like the value as of right now on Michael Pittman. I mean, he's a monster in the red zone and in the end zone. 6'4", like 230.
Yeah.
He's got all the physical attributes you're looking for. So I'm buying into Pittman. And as for the Indies wide receiver two, not on roster as of right now.
Nobody,
it's not T.Y. Hilton.
Emerged. No, I don't think, I think T.Y. Hilton's done.
Yeah, probably not. It's not, former favorite sleeper of the show, Paris Campbell.
No, unfortunately, he never healthy. Trust him. Never
it's,
healthy.
It's not Zach Pascal. It's certainly not Ashton Doolin or Desmond Patmon. Sorry. So nothing more to say about the wide receivers for the Colts at this time.
Tight end's kind of the same way. There's no lead tight end.
Well, there's rumblings that Jack Doyle might retire, which would make Mo Alie-Cox a whole lot more interesting.
Yeah, it would.
But they've got this Kylan Granson kid who they like, who was a rookie last year. So even if Doyle retires, it still feels like there's going to be this annoying platoon at tight end for the Colts. So pretty much the position is irrelevant from a fantasy perspective right now. But we'll see what happens with Doyle. If he does retire, then my interest is peaked with Mo Alie-Cox. But as of right now, nothing much to say. And really, is there much to say about Carson Wentz? I mean, we can talk about if he's going to be the quarterback.
Okay, it's a good chance he won't be based on what they're saying. And I know Wentz makes big mistakes in big spots that people hate. But dude threw 7 interceptions last year.
Yeah.
He was against, efficient. I think, 27
passing
27
touchdowns.
27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean,
that's a good ratio.
Great ratio.
Sure, definitely a great ratio.
He wasn't bad. People act like he was terrible. I don't think Carson Wentz is bad as people.
He was an adequate fan or reality quarterback. It's the fantasy players who are saying this guy sucks because just 3 games with 270 plus passing yards all season.
That's not great.
2 over 300.
But they had Jonathan Taylor. They played to their strengths.
And that's probably what we're looking at this year. So really, Wentz is the guy. If he stays on the Colts, clearly a backup from a fantasy perspective, but really for me, probably one of the last ones I would want. I'd probably rather take a chance on a rookie that's it for Carson Wentz and that's it for the Colts.
Okay. Let's go to Houston. New head coach is Lovie Smith, an uninspired hire, I believe, with a dismal track record as a head coach,
but an awesome beard now.
Oh, the beard is amazing.
One of the best beards out there.
Yeah, for sure. His offensive coordinator is Pep Hamilton, who I did not like as the offensive coordinator for Andrew Luck. As you may recall, I nicknamed him Poop Hamilton at the time. But in fairness to Pep Hamilton, who gets to be Pep, he gets to be Pep until proven otherwise. He was with Justin Herbert 2 years ago for his explosive rookie year.
Okay.
Last year, passing game coordinator for Davis Mills in Houston. They kept him on. And why not? Davis Mills is one of the great success stories of the draft last year.
Speaking of keeping him on, they better keep Davis Mills as their quarterback, which you're going to talk about right now.
Let's go right to it. He was the 3rd round pick, and despite only starting, I believe it was 14 games in college. I think it was just 14 games at Stanford. That was it. They threw him into action right away because Tyrod Taylor got hurt in week 2. They had to bring him in, and the plan was to rest Mills because he was so green. So they played Mills for 5 or 6 games. And then when Taylor came back, they went to Taylor. But Taylor only lasted 3 games.
Yeah.
They went right back to Mills. And I really want to focus on Mills the rest of the way. His average game after returning from that point forward, which is week 14 through 18, so okay. We've got a 5-game set, 251 yards and almost 2 touchdown passes per game. Over the final 5 weeks of the season, Davis Mills was quarterback 10.
Yeah.
How about that? And think about the quality of player around him, the offensive line, the receivers.
No running game.
He was working with scraps. Yeah, no running game, nothing. Mills is not a runner. I'll mention that. That's something, if you didn't already know, we learned this year. Unclear how high of an upside Mills has because he played so little in college. He's played so little at the NFL level. He's had so little help around him. The upside could be way higher than what we've seen so far. The upside here could be a top 10 fantasy quarterback down the road.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen quarterbacks go way later in the draft that turn out to be superstars. We could start with Tom Brady. I'm not calling Davis Mills the next Tom Brady, right. But a third-round quarterback, and certainly we've seen undrafted quarterbacks turn into viable fantasy assets. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Davis Mills as well. I really hope they just give him the keys and let him go.
Eye test. The dude's a baller. His arm is good enough to make all the throws. He's got the poise. All the intangibles I want. I like Davis Mills. He is an NFL. He belongs in the NFL as an NFL quarterback.
Now, as a Viking fan, how bitter are you that they could have taken Davis Mills
and I was over Kellen Mond?
He went literally the next
pick.
The very next pick.
Vikings took Mond first, and I was banging the table all April to take Davis Mills.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about
Nope, they went Mond, and they're going to regret it. Anyway, let's talk Brandon Cooks, who was the only receiver you really cared about on this team, despite a lot of turmoil and all the quarterback position changes and everything else. Cooks was pretty reliable. Only 5 games where he had less than 50 yards and did not score all year.
Yep.
So he was a guy who almost, got you over 50 yards, helped you out with some touchdowns. And if I look at the games just under Davis Mills, Cooks averaged 9 targets, 6.5 catches, 68 yards, and half a touchdown per game. Who is the comparable? So again, this was Brandon Cooks in just Davis Mills starts. Your comparable player this year was CeeDee Lamb for those numbers.
Wow.
Yeah, he 9 targets, great. 6.5 catches, 68 yards, and half a touchdown. And actually, Cooks scored more touchdowns because Lamb only had 6 and Cooks had 9. So I think he'll continue to be a target hog. Then what if Davis Mills gets a lot better in year 2? What if Davis Mills is what if he's a top 12 quarterback, which, maybe he is. Then what if he's a top 15 quarterback? Then, Brandon Cooks could be, 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns next year.
Davis Mills could be the best quarterback in the AFC South this year.
Wow.
I mean, if it stays Wentz, then Trevor Lawrence, Tannehill, it's not that far-fetched.
Nico Collins did nothing all year, really. And we kept hoping that the breakout was coming. It never emerged, hardly even got on the field. Tons of raw talent. Hopefully has a bigger role next year.
He's a guy I'm targeting right now in best ball in the later rounds.
Because again, you think Mills gets better.
Yeah.
And if Collins gets better in year 2, I think he could be the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, he's got the pedigree to play.
Let's get the running backs, Burkhead, David Johnson, Royce Freeman. Burkhead moved to the top of the depth chart at the end of the year, but still only averaged 3.5 yards per carry on the season. And aside from torching the Chargers 1 week with the worst run defense in the NFL, he was totally mundane.
May I peacock for 1 second? Yeah. I used Burkhead as my take a chance on me player in like week 15.
Was it week 16 against the Chargers?
Yeah.
All right. Then you did this like 160 yard, 2 touchdown game.
I think loyal Twitter, he's a fan of the show. He was so grateful because he listened to the show and he told his son who just started playing fantasy football, hey, play Rex Burkhead, and he won. He wanted to Venmo me money. So I was like, all right, sure. Why not?
Okay. Yeah.
Here's my Venmo.
You'll take that.
I certainly did.
All right. I like it. Burkhead is under contract for next year. David Johnson is not. He's a free agent. And Royce dropped the piano. Freeman stinks. So he's not even a factor.
Houston will be drafting a running back.
I think there's a chance they're all gone. And maybe Burkhead's back as a backup. This is a team that can and should draft a running back, the Houston Texans. Hey, last guy I want to mention. Brevin Jordan, tight end, flashed at the end of the year. If you're in a deeper dynasty league, just somebody you might want to think about.
No, he's a guy going late rounds right now.
Yeah, Brevin Jordan. Yeah. It's because there's, you know, they've been trying to find consistency. Jordan Akins, a lot of others that they've rotated through a tight end over the past few years. None of it's come together. Maybe Brevin Jordan.
Yeah. He should be the guy this year.
It could be. And being the guy, second-year tight ends generally don't do a lot either. Usually it takes like 3 years, like Dawson Knox breakout 3 year. So I don't expect a ton from Brevin Jordan, but he may be good enough to be your backup tight end next season. Thank you for listening, Fantasy Football Weekly. We'll be back with a free agent edition next week. And as always, thank you for rating, reviewing, subscribing to Fantasy Football Weekly.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.